Greenside, the IGA podcast.
Also, Mike McCoy, the 2013 U.S.
Zach Johnson, now a two-time major champion after becoming the winner of the 144th Open Championship.
All right, welcome to Greenside, the IGA podcast. Want to welcome back, unfortunately, Tony Lutz. And when I say unfortunately, we had recorded last week, hadn't we, Tony, and had a little technical difficulties with our recording. So welcome back. Why don't you introduce, I guess, reintroduce yourself to our listeners.
Hey, my name is Tony Lutz. I was born and raised in Waterloo, Iowa. Started playing golf when I was about 10 at Gates Park in Waterloo. And then when I got married, I moved to Waverly and lived in Waverly for 36 years and played out of the Waverly Municipal Golf Course. Also worked there for 12 years part-time. And then in September, my wife and I moved out to Redmond, Oregon, and have been working at Eagle Crest Resort, one of their three courses out there, since early September, and have played probably about three times a week since moving out here, which is kind of nice. We had about a three-week stretch around Christmas where we had about a half a foot of snow, so the course was closed. But since it's all melted and temperatures in the 60s this week, it's been hot and heavy playing golf.
So, Tony, but before we dive in, you commented on something that sparked my interest. You said you live in Redmond?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so a former IGA employee who's kind of positioned, we kind of rearranged some things, but kind of his spot is the one I took back in 2015. Jason Bjorklund lives in Redmond. So after we get done recording, why don't I get you his contact info? Because I'm sure he's always looking to play a little bit of golf. So that'd be kind of cool, I think.
That sounds great.
So anyway, 99 counties you have played in. Why don't you tell me a little bit how that got started and how it took off?
Okay. Well, as a background, I worked at Wartburg College, and my son went to Wartburg. And when he was a freshman, spring break was coming around, and he wanted to go somewhere. And I have a brother down in Alabama. So he said, let's go visit Uncle Tim and play Robert Trent Jones courses. And there's 468 courses on the Robert Trent Jones. And we made it a goal to play every hole on the trail. And after he graduated from college, I had a few times to go to get that. And I went down every year and played Robert Trent Jones courses and others. And I completed that goal. I said, okay, now what's next? And so I said, let's try and play in every county in Iowa. And when I got done with that in 2018, I think it was, with Robert Trent Jones, I said, let's do the Iowa. And I think I had played in about 50 counties at that time. And
okay.
then in 2020, we kind of decided that we were going to retire out here to Redmond in 2021. So we had to put a move on it. And my wife and I would go on many vacations and stay two or three nights and play five or six different counties based out of one spot. And last July, I finished the 99th county and completed my mission.
Tony, you mentioned you had played, you know, kind of 50 courses up until your trek down at Robert Trent Jones. I guess prior to, you know, you're really digging into playing in all 99. Was it kind of a goal, or was it more of a, hey, it's just kind of happened that I've played in this many counties and I just kind of like to travel around and play?
I saw a story about a couple probably in their 70s to early 80s that on Channel 9 KCRG out of Cedar Rapids, that they did a story on that they played in all 99 counties. I thought, well, people like that can do it. Someone in their late 50s, early 60s can too. So I kind of made it a goal and went after it. And the first thing to do was research and make sure that still all 99 counties had golf courses. And at the time they did. And I think there's still a golf course in every county in Iowa.
Well, I was just going to say, I think Iowa's unique because it seems like every little community or cluster of communities has a nine-hole course, I feel like.
Yeah, I think there were 8 to 10 counties that only had one course.
Okay.
And so I kind of made those priorities to get. Thinking that, you know, at the time court golf was kind of dying off a little bit and courses were closing, but that was a big mistake on my part. these little nine-hole courses on the, you know, like the only course in the county, those are loved and cared for by the members. And there's no way that they're going to close because of develop or anything like that. It's more urban courses that are being closed than the little rural courses.
I was just going to say a lot of those nine-hole courses, I'm sure that, you know, they have a superintendent that does the spraying and can do that stuff, but it's a lot of members doing a lot of little things that add up to some pretty cool things I bet you were able to see.
Yeah, I think a lot of the rural courses, even some of the members are, you know, are farmers, and, you know, they understand the application of fertilizer and things like that. And they just, you know, they get certified to do that. And then they just take care of it on their own. The course might have a sprayer, or they might just, you know, make one up there on their own with a, you know, a PVC tank and a, you know, a piece of pipe with some spray nozzles and take care of the course as needed. The neat thing is that most of the courses now are fully irrigated. And if they're not fully irrigated, the tees and the greens are irrigated. So you always had good playing conditions. You might have a little patchy grass, but that's the way I grew up playing some of the courses, you know, in Waterloo in the late 60s, early 70s, there wasn't a lot of irrigation on the municipal courses in Waterloo either. So I was used to, you know, patchy lies and things like that.
So when you were kind of undertaking, you know, knocking out the next, you know, almost 50 courses, were you getting the map out and kind of, you know, mapping a plan, or was it more of like, hey, let's get over to this region and, you know, kind of knock out a few and go from there? What was your plan of attack?
Well, when I started to really make it a goal, I played quite a few counties east of Interstate 35 growing up in, you know, in Waverly and Waterloo. So that area was pretty much taken care of. So it was just, okay, let's go over here and stay in, say, Spencer and knock off a bunch of counties around Spencer. We went down to Southwest Iowa and did a bunch down there. I used the internet and also the Iowa PGA Golf Pass yes, to set up rounds. And I also had, I think one of the websites had, you know, all the golf courses in Iowa, so I could kind of use that too. But the big thing is I just kind of use Facebook Messenger and contacted the course and say, hey, I'm going to be in your area Tuesday and Wednesday. Would either of those days work for me to play your course and not to interfere with men's days or ladies' days or fundraisers for the Chamber of Commerce or the sports teams in the area? So, and most of them are say, sure, come on out. A lot of them, not a lot, but if you would say, yeah, ladies' day starts at 10 o'clock. You know, if you're out here at 7:30, you'll get your nine holes in before they get here and they won't care. So some of that working around, but it was kind of fun. People that I approached about the reason I was doing it were more than willing to accommodate me for the day I was kind of looking at.
You kind of led into my next question as far as kind of how you did your communication, you know, with the courses. I, you know, not every course has a website, but I feel like any more about every course has a Facebook page that you can at least either get a contact or get some information from.
That's pretty much, yeah. A lot of it was Facebook Messenger. And a lot of times I would put the question out there midday, and by late night or by within 24 hours, I had a response from pretty much everybody that I contacted. And then it was just, okay, say there were three courses in one county, I'd say, okay, which one is on the Iowa PGA Pass, which one looks fun for me to play, or, you know, that kind of thing. And that's how I chose where to play. Also, have working at Wartburg for 31 years, I met a lot of students that are spread out all over the state or come from all over the state. And I said, okay, I want to play courses in this area. Mm-hmm. What are the best ones that you've played, or ones I should play, or something neat about this course that I should know about? And took their advice and wasn't led wrong too many times.
Awesome. You mentioned, you know, you communicate with the courses a lot, you know, via the internet, and I'm sure you ran into a few maybe where the clubhouse manager had another job maybe in town or something, and maybe, hey, I'm gonna have to meet you out there if you're, you know, playing real early in the morning.
Yeah, or even like some courses, you know, the pro shop or the club isn't open until 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I remember
this guy named John at the Lawrence Golf and Country Club. He was like an insurance salesman.
Okay, yep.
And I contacted him, say, hey, we're going to be there on a certain day. And he said, that's fine. What time are you going to be there? I said, we'll probably tee off around 12:30. He said, fine. He met me there. He just said, he took my money and then he gave me the keys to his cart, his own personal cart to use for the day. So he didn't have to go to the shed and get a bunch out. And, when I was done, I put the cart back where he told me to and hid the key where he wanted it. And just super nice guy and more than accommodating than I expected.
Tony, would you say a majority of your courses that you played were nine hole, or was it kind of a 50-50 mix of the 9 and 18?
I would say the majority of the courses, like the first time I played a course in the county were nine holes. I played 189 different courses in Iowa.
Okay, nice.
And I would say most of them are, 60%, 75% are nine hole courses. Of course, playing, Waterloo, Waverly, mm-hmm. Cedar Rapids, Des Moines courses, those are all 18s. But then you get, little towns that they're just nine hole courses and go for it from there.
When you would visit these nine hole courses, kind of a two part question, would you play, 18 holes? And then my second question is, I'm sure you ran into a few courses where, you play a different tee on the second nine, and probably a few of those changes the hole completely, or the yardage is maybe there's a short par five and then the next one's the shorter par four or something like
right.
that.
Most of the times the par didn't change from where tee boxes okay. was, might have changed the angle of the hole.
Okay.
One course that I remember is Gurris Golf Club up in Buffalo Center, Iowa, North Central Iowa. Their second, you played one, we played 18, played the nine twice.
Okay.
The first nine, it was pretty normal, but the second nine, the second tee boxes were way different from the first time. The first time you might play in par three going to the green, there'd be a bunker to the right of the green. The second time you play it from a little bit closer distance, you had to fly the bunker to get to the green.
Okay.
So that was one that was really the nines were totally but distinctive. But the last couple of years, if it was a nine hole course, I just played nine because I try and play at two different counties or maybe three different counties in a day.
Sure.
We'd start out first thing in the morning. My wife would play the first course with me, and then she would the second time go and sit in the clubhouse or the pro shop and work on her work. She's still working.
Okay.
So she would check her email and things like that, maybe go to a meeting. And then the third nine, she would just relax and I would quick go out. Because a lot of these nine hole courses with the cart or even walking, I could get around in a little over an hour, because most of the time, the last 2 years, I played 37 counties. I might have been, majority of them, I was the only one on the course at the time.
Okay.
I wasn't running into people.
Yeah.
So I could just get it and go and be done. And
that was going to be a question of mine of when you the rounds that your wife didn't join you, or she was working. Did you try to join up with the group, or was it more of, just go? And it sounds like if you're the only one on the course, you could just go and take off, couldn't you?
I would say out of the 37 courses that I played the last 2 years, probably about 30 of them, there might have been myself and maybe one other group on the whole course. And so we just, I'd either, if it was like, if I caught up to someone, I'd play the last couple holes with them. But most of the time I was just out there by myself enjoying the day.
Would you kind of share your story of what you were doing, with the, if you joined up with people, were people kind of interested in that? I'm just curious.
Yeah. I mean, everyone, it's like, well, why are you playing this, this course or sure. that? And it's like, well, it's just since I'm trying to play all 99 in all 99 counties in Iowa. And this is the one I chose. And most of the time I said, I was glad I chose the course to play.
That's awesome. Not to put you on the spot, but I'm sure you ran into some courses that had some unique characteristics. Is there any that maybe you come to mind or that you jotted down and have noted over your travels?
Yeah. Probably the one course I really wanted to play on my trek to do 99 was the Red Oak Country Club down in Southwest Iowa.
Yep.
My father-in-law grew up in Red Oak and he caddied for his grandfather there in the late 30s, early 1940s.
Okay.
And I thought, I asked my father-in-law at the time when I started this, I said, well, do you want to go down there and caddy for me? I'd pay you the same as your grandfather did. And he said, no, he didn't think so. So I did play it. I did spend a little bit of time there in the clubhouse because there was some quirkiness to that course that I said, this couldn't have been how it was back in the 30s and the 40s. And they said, no, it changed around. And there was one hole that was like a downhill par three that had berms around three sides of it. And you had to carry the berm to get to the green. And he said, yeah, the hole used to play basically from 180 degrees the other way. There was an opening that you'd play into versus to fly into the over the berm. So,
sure.
It was fun to talk to some people that, you know, had played there for before they had done the renovation back in the, I think, 1980s. Some other things, I always love a course that has a bell.
Yep.
To say that the coast is clear for the people to play behind you. Glenwood and Shadow Valley and Woodbine both had big tall poles with bells on that. When you got over the ridge on a par four, you rang the bell so the people behind you knew it was safe to hit. I always made sure to ring the bell even if I was the only one there.
Sure.
Because that's, you just have to do that. It says ring the
it's
bell.
Part, it's part of the experience, reach, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, it says ring the bell when you pass this point. No, I have to do that.
Follow the rules.
Yep. Got to follow the rules. There's a, in Dysart, Iowa, there's a triangle, a big dinner bell type triangle that's about 3 feet in diameter. And so you clang that bell to let you know it was clear. And at Pine Lake, there was a old wood saw blade that was like 2.5 feet round with the teeth, and you banged it like a gong.
Okay.
When you were done. Back in the day, before one of the renovations at the Waverly Golf Course, they used to have a periscope on what was number two so that you would look to see if the fairway was cleared before you would tee off. And then one of my favorite ones was the Ackley Golf Course. They have a par three that 185 yards that cuts the corner of the high school football field and track.
Oh, really?
Yep. And there's a sign on the fence that around the track that says, do not play from the football field. Move the ball to the blue tee area. No penalty.
Take a free drop from the.
And I thought, geez, that, you know, that football field was in pretty good shape. I wouldn't mind playing from that.
Sure.
But it was kind of a neat thing to see.
Well, and as you probably saw, just from my experiences on some of these, you know, smaller community nine hole courses, pretty small greens. Like you have to be hitting the ball pretty well to hit a lot of greens on some of those courses, don't you?
Yeah, most of them are, I, you know, have like what I call upside down saucer greens.
Yep.
Bush so you had to, you know, either had to roll it up at the right speed or, you know, hit it pretty high because it was gonna, if it didn't hit the middle, it was gonna roll off the back edge. And the other thing that was pretty consistent is that either there was a hole that was adjacent to a cornfield,
yep,
or you could see the city's grain elevator from the course somewhere. So in 2020, I called it the Tony Lutz Tour of Rural Iowa Golf Courses. And one of the things I always try to make sure is take a picture of either the grain elevator or a field, you know, just right next to the golf course.
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, did you document, you know, kind of your travels? Did you keep a scorecard or you just kind of take pictures and, you know, kind of knew where you had gone? Did you do any kind of that kind of stuff, I guess, throughout the trip?
Yeah, I pretty much took pictures of every course I play. One of the things I do is at the end of the year, I make a calendar.
Okay, cool.
Pictures from all the courses I play, you know, courses that I played during the year are good pictures that I've taken. And then usually I post it on Facebook just to let people know, you know, like this was, you know, course number 175 in Iowa, county number 84, and, you know, number 400 in different golf courses that I played. And people would say, hey, you know, when are you going to get to 99? Or here's a, have you been here? Or here's a course that I grew up on. Or, you know, if I played a course that kids had played from Warburg that had played when they were younger, say, man, that was a great course. And, you know, I'd say still in really, really good shape. So you were lucky to play this course as a kid.
Well, Tony, you got 99 all checked off, but I guess, was there any courses that you still what you want to get and play that you haven't back here?
The only ones I really, you know, kind of had on my personal bucket list that sure. I didn't get to was some of the couple of private courses in Cedar Rapids.
Okay.
Most of the other major private courses in the state, I was able to play because of the Greg Mason was the pro in Waverly about 13 years ago. And yep, he hired me to work.
Yeah. We know Mace.
He hired me to work part-time in the pro shop one night a week. And he said, hey, if you anywhere you want to play, let me know and I'll try and get you on. And I just never got around to the Cedar Rapids Country Club or Elm Crest Country Club in Cedar Rapids. But other than that, Greg or people I'd met through Wartburg got me onto pretty much all the big private courses I wanted. The last two I got to play before we moved out here to Oregon were Glen Oaks in West Des Moines. We went to the principal tournament there several times and I was like, man, I'd really like to play that course. And a person my wife worked with in Des Moines was a member there. And when he'd heard that we were leaving, he said, well, let's, you know, someday you come down to work in Des Moines. I'll take the day off and I'll take Tony golfing. So he treated me the day at Glen Oaks, which was cut short to 12 holes because of rain, but still we got to see the whole course and it was as good as expected. Nice. And the last one was the Talons of Tuscany in Ankeny.
Sure. Yeah.
Doug Schnook was the golf course superintendent in Waverly for 30 some years. Yep. And I was on the golf commission when he was the superintendent. And when he moved to Ankeny, he got hired to do mowing of the greens down there at Talons. So he knew we were moving and he said, hey, the superintendent said, hey, why don't you invite some friends over to play golf? And so Doug and I and two other people played the Talons on a Wednesday afternoon. We were the second and only other foursome on the course for the whole day.
I bet. Yep.
So
yep.
It was a really, really good day to play a course that I, you know, watched being built, driving to Des Moines so many times along the interstate. And it's like, man, I want to play there.
Right.
That's so Doug kind of fulfilled my wish. And
yeah, we know
he
we know,
was able to do that for me.
Yeah, we know Doug really well through his days at Waverly, but then now he lives in Ankeny, like you said. So he pops into the office. He serves on a committee or two of ours. And I always good to see him. I've been trying to twist his arm to get on the podcast. So I might have to tell him, you put in a good word for him too.
I'll see if I can prod him along too.
There you go.
We text back and forth probably once a month or so. Just, yeah, you know, how you doing?
Good.
If I see something neat on the golf course, that reminds me of him, I'll send him a picture or something like that.
Oh, that's cool.
I enjoy working with Doug on the golf course and then playing with him a few times every year.
Yeah. Doug's one of the best. That's what I tell people. I enjoy sitting down and talking with him and just hearing his stories.
That's why he's in the Iowa Golf Hall of Fame.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And so, I think it's kind of neat that Waverly also, you know, at one time had two guys in the Iowa Golf Hall of Fame that went in shortly after one after the other. Steven Tyler.
Sure. Yeah.
From his work with the Iowa Golf and then working with Standard Golf.
Standard Golf, yeah, for sure. Definitely a pioneer of a lot of things, for sure.
So I thought that was pretty neat. A little Waverly 18-hole course. Yeah. Two members in the Iowa Golf Hall of Fame. I think they went in within 5 years of each other.
Yeah, maybe. I was going to say it was pretty close without looking. I think you're right. I think it was within 5 years for sure. So, well, Tony, before I let you go, just curious, you know, if someone out there listening is wanting to undertake something like this. And I know of one other person that's done it and I need to get him on the podcast too, but what advice would you give them? And, you know, how do you get started? Cause I'm sure to begin with it, you know, it's kind of an undertaking. So what do you suggest?
I'd say, get a map or go to a website and just Google, all the Iowa golf courses and then, get a state map out and look around and see where these courses are at and talk to friends and look on Facebook to say, hey, you know, where should I play? And I was never saying, you know, or treated poorly or turned down to play a course that's, you know, said it was open to the public. It was private, but sometimes you can work around that. But go out and enjoy all the great courses in Iowa and play as many as you can. I was hoping to get to 200, didn't quite get there, but I'm glad I got as many as I did. And there's not many courses I wouldn't play again in the state of Iowa.
That's awesome. Well, I'm going to give another plug to the Iowa PGA, that golf card they do. We partner with them to promote that. So that was probably a very beneficial tool as well. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. And the thing is, they're dirt cheap and they say, I mean, it was, I think when I bought mine, it was $30 or $35. Mm-hmm. I think now they're $40 and $45. And you can always early in the season, find a discount for $10 off. And it really, you know, the more you, the more you play, the more you save.
I was just going to say, it pays for itself pretty quick.
Yeah. I did think of one other course to talk about.
Yeah, you bet.
Leon Golf and Country Club in Leon, Iowa.
Yep.
It's in South Central Iowa.
Yep.
We came over the hill and looked, and there was the green. And then just to the left across the road was a cemetery.
Okay.
And I, we're big Caddyshack fans in our family. And I thought of the Al Chervik line. I tell you, golf courses and cemeteries are the biggest waste of prime real estate. But I just saw that. I was like, that right away, it popped in my head. It popped in my wife's head, and we both started chuckling. And,
that's funny.
So I did take a picture of that, and it was on my yearly calendar because that's one of my favorite golf course pictures I've ever taken.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Well, Tony, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to speak with us again. Like I said, I apologize for the technical difficulties we had earlier, but I think we had an even better discussion this time. So good luck. And I will get you Jason's contact information, and hopefully you guys can get together for some golf.
I'll try to make sure to get a hold of him and see if we can get something worked out. Do you know where he's playing out of, or where he's
playing? You know, I don't. I'm guessing. I think he's kind of just nomad golfer. I think he just kind of plays wherever. And I know I had talked to him somewhat recently, and you know, likes to play, you know, as much as he can. So I'll get you his contact information, and you guys can. And he's an old Iowa conference now. You know, it's American Rivers Conference now, but he's a Simpson guy. So you know, we got to keep the Iowa conference. I went to Central. I didn't tell you that early on. You know, just in case the, you know, the Wartburg Central. You know,
someone has to finish second.
I was gonna say, yeah, I suppose we all get along after we're out of school. I always say so. Anywho, well, again, appreciate it, and thanks for talking with us.
You bet. Thank you. Enjoyed it.